If you've got a Bible with you, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Isn't this fantastic, this place? Hey? Eh? Yes. Well, I think it is anyway. It's great.
Yes.
We are privileged, aren't we? We're really privileged. It reminds me a little bit of Willow Creek on a smaller scale, but it's, you know, why not? Why not? I'm going to talk a little about Bill Hybels in a bit, but that's later down. Yeah, if you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 2. We're just finishing a series. We've been looking at the characters involved in the Christmas story. And I know Christmas is a long time ago and it's long gone. But we're looking at the wise men today. And the wise men really weren't part of the Christmas story in the sense that they were never in the stable, yeah? They were nowhere near the stable. And you see these images, even on the Bible. If anyone watched that Bible series, it was really moving. It was a fantastic slot when we saw the shepherds come in, then the wise men came in, and they just went prostrate at his feet. It was a really moving scene, but it was nothing to do with what happened in the Bible, as we'll see here about the wise men. So the wise men really came probably something like anything between 12, 18 months after the birth of Jesus. So Jesus was probably a toddler when they went to visit him. He might have run up to them, I don't know. You know, what he was doing, but he was in a house, as we read. He wasn't in the stable. And it was a long time after the actual birth of Jesus. So let's look at these verses in Luke chapter 2. And it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Maggie came from the east. I don't know how she got in the story, but she came anyway. Maggie came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for that is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called Maggie and secretly found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Excuse my throat a little bit today. The wise men. We don't know very much about the wise men. That's the only reference in the Bible, those 12 verses there, about them. Tradition says there was three, but there might have been as many as 12. They were kings, we know they were kings. They were astrologers. They were priests. That word magi is really priests. They could have come from Persia or India, but we know they were wise men. As we enter 2014... what are we looking for? I think we've been challenged today as to what we're looking for. You see, these were wise men, and they were looking for the king. It says there, "We have seen his star in the east." They've been stargazing, looking at the stars, and they'd obviously seen something that had really just challenged them. It was something that was special. And they were after what it represented. They knew it was representing something of importance, so important. They were on a mission to find him. And this thing they wanted to find, they were just after it at all costs for one purpose. They went on a long, long journey. A whole entourage. I think this picture probably fulfills what it was like. An entourage of people coming across from the east. And their whole purpose, it says in the word there, was, we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard about it, it says he was disturbed. No wonder. And all Jerusalem with him. It caused a big stir in the town, as it would do when foreign visitors came in, and a lot of them asking questions. We've come to find the new king of the Jews. No wonder it caused trouble. Hang on, I wonder what Herod thought. Hang on a minute. Hey, I'm the king around here. If you heard Graham's talk last week, you'll find out about Herod. If you haven't, listened to it. Yeah? Hang on. I'm in charge here. I'm the king of the Jews. You're looking for the king? Hang on, it's me. Hang on, no, it's not. We're looking for the king. The king. See, this was no ordinary king. This was the Christ. The Messiah. This was the expected one. The Savior the Jews had been waiting for over 400 years. As it reads there in the Bible, it was foretold by the prophet Micah. You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least of the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. I wonder why the chief priests and teachers of the law didn't go with the wise men to Bethlehem. I wonder why they didn't go. Herod obviously got them together. There was a lot going on in the town. They must have spoken to the wise men as well. They must have known what was happening. But they didn't go with them to Bethlehem. What a moment in history to be part of. Wise men come and say, we've seen this star. There's a king coming. It's a promised king. The chief priests and the law say, yeah, hang on. Yeah, the Messiah, he is coming. And what do? They just let it pass them. An opportunity for fame forever. To be on Christmas cards. To be in nativity plays. Yeah? Johnny, you're playing the chief priest. Never happens. They missed it completely. Never part of the story. Sadly, they missed him because they were too busy with their religion and their stuff that was going on, that they missed it completely. Whether they were afraid of Herod, I don't know. Whether if they had said, hang on, Herod, we're going off to see this new king as well, whether that would have been the end of them, I don't know. But they missed it completely. Do you know, guys, even today, we can miss him. Jesus is speaking clearly to us today at the start of this year. But you know, we can walk out of these doors today, get on with our ordinary lives, and completely miss what he's saying to us. We can miss him completely. Mike always says this, he knew about him, but he didn't know him. Today you may know about him, but do you actually know him? These wise men were seeking him. They were pursuing him. They wanted to find him. Nothing was going to get in their way. Herod wasn't going to get in the way. A long journey wasn't going to get in their way. They were going to find him. Do you know we're going to do the same thing? See, the wise men didn't give up. They kept on going. They followed the star, and they were overjoyed when they saw it above the house. They saw Mary, his mother, and the child, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Mission accomplished. The purpose fulfilled. We have come to worship him. I wonder what Mary thought when these guys arrived at the house. Unusually dressed, probably didn't speak the same language, above their station. We don't hear about Joseph. What a moment to be part of. What a moment when those guys, big burly guys probably as well, just fell on their feet at the feet of Jesus. It must have been fantastic. I wonder what Jesus did or said. Was he jumping all over them? I don't know. What were they doing? Was he playing hide and seek? What a moment, but they just worshipped him. See, the Bible tells us in Romans 11, it says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every. These guys weren't too posh. They weren't too proud. They weren't too rich or famous to bow the knee at Jesus. That's why I like that scene in the Bible series, because they weren't worried about the muck or the dirt. They just bowed down. I don't know what the house was like, but they weren't interested in their robes. They just bowed down at the feet of Jesus. We've got that fantastic opportunity today just to bow at his feet. Don't let pride or circumstances get in the way of us just falling at his feet, bowing down to him. Because one day, you've seen these scenes from Mecca, which are almost sort of orchestrated when everyone just goes, vroomph. Well, heaven's going to be like that, because we're just going to fall at his feet in his presence. And it's great that we can do it voluntarily. Yeah. We can lay everything aside and say, Lord, my whole purpose is to worship you. And you see, Jesus wants us to come to him today at the start of this year and give him what we can. They gave him gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And I haven't got time to go into all the details about that. Look that up for yourself. Unusual gifts. But you know that carol, it says, what can I give him? Poor as I am. Yeah. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give my heart. Aidy's word this morning, yeah, about giving. What have you got to give? Bring what you've got. Not what I've got. I bring what I've got. You bring what you've got. Don't say you haven't got anything, because you've got something that nobody else has got. Yeah? And your something is what God wants. He wants you, and he wants what you've got to give him. So what's your focus and what's your mission for 2014? What's really motivating you? We've got one or two ladies who are expecting, and it must be a fantastic, real blessing to be thinking of that and all the preparation and the plans that are going for that. Change your life forever. Turn it completely upside down. Jesus turned the world upside down when he came. Well, that's what a new baby does to you. Because everything revolves around the child. You can't just up and out and go partying. Hang on a minute. We've got a bundle here to look after. But you know, so often we do that with our lives. And we do it with Jesus. We just live our lives without him. And then all of a sudden we bring him in. He wants to be at the center of our life. He wants to be at the center of everything that we do. I've said this before a few weeks ago. I don't know what you're starting your day with, but are you starting it with him? Before you put your mobile on, when you switch your alarm off, get out of bed and maybe do your ablutions, but then spend it with him. Yeah? Spend it with him. Into his word. Just spend 5-10 minutes. Rather than picking him up somewhere down the line, and it's too late because all the junk of everything else has come over and overwhelmed you. Focus on him. Put him first. Ask him what he wants. What are you living for in 2014? Make him number one. We sing a song, I don't know if we used to sing it anyway. It says, the reason I live is to worship him. The reason I live is to worship him in everything I do. And it's difficult. It's not easy when the boss is on your back. It's not easy when things are going wrong. But in everything that we do, it should be for him, yeah? To worship him. So I do the best I possibly can in everything I do. Even though sometimes you feel like screaming, yeah? When it's getting too much. But my whole life should be for him. Is that our position? Is it my position? It needs to be. I want it to be. It's my heart's desire. And daily I need to come to him and say, Lord, yeah, I want that to be my position. In everything I do and say, to be after him and his glory. Let's just bow in prayer for a moment. We're a couple of weeks into the new year and maybe your resolutions didn't happen. Maybe they've long gone. But that doesn't mean you can't start again. As we start here today in a new place, God's challenged us. He's encouraged us. He's told us who we are. He's told us where we are. He's told us we're royalty. He's told us he's for us. What more do we want? Just in these moments, as we did before, just give him your life. Give him your situations. Give him your hurts. Give him your unforgiveness. Give him those things which have just weighed you down. And say, Lord, right now, I want to worship you. That's all I want to do, is worship you with my life, with my future. And as we do that, then everything else will just fall into place as we focus on him.